If you could rewind time a little more than two decades to the early 80s, you would find Greg Raymer graduating high school here in St. Louis and then going on to major in chemistry at the University of Missouri Rolla campus. And then he moved out of the bi-state, and then you move time forward to 2004, and you find him competing in a field of 2,576 players at Binion's Horseshoe in downtown Las Vegas in the World Series of Poker. Greg, by that time, had taken on the nickname Fossil Man, a nickname that became known worldwide when ESPN showed that World Series of Poker title over and over and over again, and Greg was the winner. But as if that wasn't enough, winning $5 million that year, how about what he did last year when he competed again in the World Series of Poker main event, this time a field of over 5,600 players? He came in 25th. Which means that he had beaten more than double the number of people the second time that he did the first time. That is an absolutely remarkable run in the world of poker. Greg is going to be in town to make an appearance at Harrah's for their new poker room next week. But first, he's back here on the Paul Harrah's Show. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Well, hey, Paul. Thanks. That was a great introduction.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's a pretty impressive thing you accomplished. And will you be competing in this year's World Series of Poker again?
I will be in every World Series of Poker until I'm dead, or if I'm like hospitalized and can't come.
Now,
if I'm not there, you know I'm in trouble.
Okay. But now that you're a multimillionaire, do you buy in, or do you still play the satellites on your website?
Actually, the funny thing is, I mean, literally the second you started introducing me, I'm sitting here on hold waiting, and I'd signed up for a quick $200 turbo no limit hold'em sit and go tournament on PokerStars, and I won it just the second you started introducing me.
Wow, good timing.
That was like a quick $700 profit.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Now, before we talk about playing poker, I want to talk to you about talking poker. You and Chris Jesus Ferguson and Howard Lederer, the professor, were on Capitol Hill, about 3 weeks ago now, lobbying our Congress when it comes to poker. What was that all about?
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago. We went to D.C. because a couple of different congressmen, Goodlatte and Leach and Kyle, are all introducing legislation. A couple different bills are being introduced that would specifically make online poker illegal. Now, these bills aren't targeted just at online poker. They're targeted at any form of gambling online. But we think that these bills are a big mistake. I mean, right now, online poker is not illegal. I think it is legal at the moment because I'm not aware of any law that specifically prohibits it. And the general rule of law in this country is that if it's not specifically prohibited by some statute, then it's legal to do it. The Department of Justice doesn't agree with that position. They think the Wire Act makes it illegal, but I believe their interpretation is mistaken. I think all competent attorneys believe that their interpretation is mistaken.
They're going after it at the government level because there's a lot of money flowing there and they want to get a piece of it, or is this a morality thing?
No, it's some kind of morality thing. I think it's the Republican side of our Congress trying to appease the Christian conservative coalition that is such a big, important factor in Republican politics. And I think the conservative Christian segment of that party, you know, is against any kind of gambling on moral grounds. And so this is a way to kind of say to them, hey, see here, we're doing what you want us to do, so keep voting for us.
I wonder how they feel
about it. They wanted money. If money was the issue, they would be legalizing it, licensing it, regulating it, and taxing it. Because right now, all these online sites, you know, including PokerStars, are located outside the U.S. jurisdiction. PokerStars is headquartered on the Isle of Man, which is a tax haven island that's kind of between England and Ireland in the Irish Sea. Other sites are in places like Gibraltar and Costa Rica and Antigua and places like that. So these companies, for all the profit that they're making, which is billions of dollars at this point in time, they are not paying any, you know, federal corporate taxes or state corporate taxes in this country.
So how do these congressmen, how do they think they can shut it down if it's not even taking place in the United States?
Well, that's, of course, the silly thing, too, is they can't. All they can do is create some laws with which they can harass people. I mean, right now, even though their interpretation is mistaken, in my opinion, the Department of Justice will, you know, like if your radio station was going to run ads for PokerStars.com, the DOJ would probably send a letter to your manager, to the CEO, president of your company, and tell them that we consider this to be illegal, and we consider you to be aiding and abetting an illegal activity. If you stop, then all is good. If you don't stop, not only are we going to go to court to try to make you stop, but we're going to arrest you personally for knowingly aiding and abetting these actions. So if you're the president of KMOX, even if your attorney tells you, oh, no, it's not illegal, they're wrong, their interpretation of the Wire Act is wrong, are you going to risk yourself going to jail or yourself paying fines out of your own pocket just so you can run those ads on your radio station? You're just going to say, I can't afford the risk.
Yeah.
So you're going to cave and you're going to tell Poker Stars that, we can't run any more of your ads for you. Now, you do see ads for Poker Stars, but those are our .net site, which on that site is play money only.
Right.
So it's perfectly appropriate to advertise that website, because when you go to the .net site, you have no access to cash money games. You can only do play money games.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, that's really just an entry for people who want to actually play real money online. And as you point out, there are millions of people, myself included, who do this. Some people do it every day. Some people do it on an irregular basis. But there's an enormous amount of money moving through there. And I don't see how you can ever stop it. And intimidation as a tactic seems more like something you should be using at the poker table than what our congressman should be using in Washington.
Well, this isn't the first situation where, you know, the party in power has used the Department of Justice and has told them, this is how we want you to interpret the existing laws. You know, we haven't been able so far to pass laws that get exactly what we want done, but we're going to take what's existing and we're going to say, here's the interpretation of that law, and it permits or doesn't, you know, allow something, so we want you to go tell these companies or these individuals to either start doing this or stop doing that.
That's
our policy.
You know what I always find funniest about this is when William Rehnquist was alive, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, he had one of the highest stake poker games in Washington, D.C. on a weekly basis.
Tons of top politicians, have, significant poker histories in their background. And I think it was Mark Twain who said that, if you're not capable of playing a strong game of poker, you aren't good enough to be the president of this country. and like President Nixon financed his first political campaign once he came out of the military from money he won playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
And Truman, Eisenhower, and other presidents, Rehnquist, other justices, other senators and congressmen have been very well known for playing in small or high-stakes poker games in their home states or in D.C. And yet, here's some of these congressmen passing laws or trying to pass laws that would make online poker illegal. And we don't see why it should be illegal just because it's online instead of face-to-face.
Yeah. What kind of reaction did you get in Washington when you and Chris and Howard made that that spiel to Congress?
Well, even when we were talking to someone like Representative Leach himself, who has put forth one of these bills, when we said to him, you should consider carving out an exception for poker, because there is a big difference. Even if you feel that gambling is immoral, poker is quite different than things like slot machines, roulette, and craps.
Or how about the state lotteries?
Well, yeah, those are all games of 100% chance. You cannot be a skillful lottery player. The only skillful play in the lottery is to not play at all. And the same thing is true for craps and roulette and so forth. But in poker, you can play with skill, and the better players are pretty much guaranteed to win in the long run. If you and I played heads-up poker, every day for a year, there's really no doubt that the better player is ahead. And so if you're ahead at the end of the year, then I'm not as good as I thought I was.
By the way, there's not a chance in hell you'll get me heads-up.
Well, but you see my point. I think you would agree with me that, maybe everyone would be figuring I'm going to win in this year-long match, but if I didn't, then clearly I'm not as good as people thought, or you're better than people thought.
Yep. And as a poker player, I look at stories like this and say, this is being written by people who have the wrong kind of agenda for America, and it absolutely drives me crazy. I'm glad we could touch on it here today. Now, next week you're going to be here helping to kick off the new World Series of Poker-themed poker room at Harrah's St. Louis. I actually was playing there last Friday night. Will you actually be playing in a tournament while you're here?
You know, I don't have 100% of the details, but we do have a tournament on the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
You can help me out, hopefully, whether that's a Wednesday.
That's a week from
that's
today.
A Wednesday, yeah. So yeah. A week from today is Wednesday. And from somewhere in the early afternoon through the early evening, we have a tournament at the Harris Poker Room, the new poker room there.
Are you traveling around the country just making appearances now, or are you also playing in the other big tournaments besides the World Series of Poker? Will we see you, for instance, on the World Poker Tour or on the NBC Heads Up Tournament or any of that stuff?
Yeah, I did compete in the NBC Heads Up Tournament that was recently filmed and is going to be shown in the near future.
How'd you do?
They're spreading it out over weeks. I lost in my second round to Daniel Negreanu, which mostly disappointed me because that was the... Of all the possible results, I mean, to win the thing or to come in second, you had to play in six matches. And the only thing I said to myself coming in was, don't lose in the second round. Because that meant then I had time to go to this other event in Europe. And I didn't really feel like dealing with the hassle of traveling to that event.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought to myself, you know, like if I lose in the first, second, or third round, I have to go to Europe.
Uh-huh.
But the first round was on day one, which would have given me an extra day to travel, an extra day to rest up after I got there.
Yep.
Now, the second and third rounds were on day two. If I lose in the third round, then, yeah, I got to go to bed that night, wake up early in the morning, and start flying to Europe. But at least I would have been in the money. Because when you win your first two rounds, you're in the money. So I would have turned a profit.
Mm-hmm.
But by losing in the second round, I lost my $20,000 entry fee in its entirety and still had to go to, you know, get up early the next morning and go to Europe. You know, it's like a 25-hour day flying from Vegas to London.
And how'd you do in Europe?
Well, it turns out it was a good thing. I didn't do well in the tournament in Europe, but we had a $20,000 buy-in sit-and-go tournament, you know, live tournament with 12 of us there, and I won that for a profit of $140,000.
Well, it turned out to be a pretty good week for you.
It turned out to be just, you know, a good thing that I got there. But you know, at the time that I lost to Daniel, I was like, oh, you know, it's not losing to Daniel. He's a great player. You know, you can't give yourself any grief because Daniel beat you in a single heads up match.
Right.
But you know, I just didn't want to lose in the second round.
This year, the World Series of Poker will probably have over 7,500 people in it, if not 8,000. The top
even 10,000 is quite possible.
They're talking about the top prize this year being $10 million, which is twice what you won 2 years ago. Would you rather play in a tournament with that many people, or would you rather play in a tournament against, you know, just the really, really good players, people who are at your level, the Daniel Negreanus, the Chris Fergusons, the Howard Lederers, the Mike Matisaus, those kind of guys?
Well, if it was a $10,000 buy-in and a $10 million first prize, I'd rather play against only the best players because that's a great overlay.
Yes, it is.
You know, if you have 100 people and you only have to put up $1 million between us and first prize is $10 million, I'll take the overlay.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, since the way almost all tournaments work is the prize money comes entirely from the players, I would rather play with 10,000 people, most of whom are relatively inexperienced, than play a short tournament against, you know, Howard and Daniel and Chris Ferguson and so forth. Because, you know, sure, my chances of winning the 100-player tournament with only great players is a lot higher than my chances of winning this main event this year with 8 or 10,000 people.
Yeah.
But my chances of making the money are a lot higher in the main event because about 10% of the field will get paid. So you have to basically beat 9 people to make it into the money and start turning a profit.
Mm-hmm.
If we do the same thing in this 100-player invitational with 100 of the best players in the world, you know, my chances of making the money are certainly, you know, no more than about 10% if they're going to pay 10 of us.
Gotcha.
Whereas in the main event, I probably have about a 25% chance of making it into the money.
Speaking of making the money, have you ever sat down in things like the big game at the Bellagio with Doyle Brunson and Jennifer Harmon?
I never would. I mean, the only reason I'm going to play in something like the NBC Heads Up and risk $20,000 is because they add some money to the prize pool. So that's where the profit can come from.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the PR value of being in that show on TV on NBC.
So you're not interested in playing a high-stakes cash game?
I'm perfectly happy to play a high-stakes cash game as long as I think my opponents are worse than me. But the big game with Doyle and Chip and those guys, I don't have any advantage over them. They probably have an advantage over me. I mean, I don't think they're going to have a big advantage over me. but you know, certainly they probably would have some.
When we talk,
they've got more experience at that level. So it's like, why do I want to risk millions of dollars playing against people that even if I'm better than them, I can't be much better than them?
Right. When we
play a small game against you.
When we talked against the after you won the World Series of Poker, you said that you had investors and you had to share some of your winnings with them.
Yes.
Do you still have investors in your tournament buy-ins, and do you ever invest in anybody else?
No and no. The reason I had those backers was because in 2002, my bankroll got a little too short for the size of games that I wanted to play. I was living in Connecticut near Foxwoods, and there was a big gap at Foxwoods at that time. We had a game that usually played in the neighborhood of 100, 200, 150, 300 limit mixed games like Hold'em and Stud and Omaha in rotation. And that game takes a pretty big bankroll. And then if you didn't play in that game, like the next game down was like 20-40 limit Hold'em, which is a lot smaller. So I had a big enough bankroll to play the 20-40 limit Hold'em, but not the 150-300. And the 150-300 game was actually an easier to beat game at that point in time. So I took on these backers so that I would have a sufficient bankroll to play in that game, and also a sufficient bankroll to enter things like the World Series main event and the Foxwood World Poker Finals main event.
But now a multimillionaire can afford his own buy-ins, huh?
Now I can afford my own buy-ins. So
gotcha.
I think I have more equity by keeping 100% of my own action.
All right, so the new poker room out at Harrah's here in St. Louis is going to open up officially next week. They'll have a week-long event starting Monday. Greg Raymer is going to be in town Monday afternoon to make an appearance at the Bass Pro Shop on South 5th Street in St. Charles from 6 to 8. You can stop by and say hi, and I'm sure he would love to hear your bad beach story. And
well, we may not have time for that. They've got me there to, you know, sign autographs, take pictures. And
no,
stuff.
No. I bet you don't want to hear another bad beach story as long as you live. And then Tuesday.
I could do that if we had time, Paul, but.
Tuesday, he'll be at Harrah's for the official ribbon-cutting ceremony in the poker room there at 5 o'clock. He'll be there like 4:15 or so for an autograph session. And I'll probably get over there that evening and maybe see you in the room as well.
Great.
Greg, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thanks very much. And good luck with that campaign to keep Congress out of the poker room.
Thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate it.
Greg Fosselman Raymer, poker champion here on the Paul Harrah Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.